You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
It's somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
We're going to go home.
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sir. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
Come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. I am your host, Corey Revinks. We're here live at the Arby's on West 10th Street. And I guess you could say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. We've been off for a week, and I'm glad to be back talking Ben Davis Football with Jeff Robinson, Johnny Easter, and the main man, Coach Mike Kirshner. And Coach, 2 weeks ago, not 1 week ago, the Ben Davis Giants beat the North Central Panthers. Can you tell us about the game?
We're during fall break, so we just got back to school this week. We've been out of school for 2 weeks. That's always a tough game for us because we're not in school. Our kids aren't on the regular schedule, which is a little bit of a tough deal for us. Practice is kind of disrupted. We're missing some kids off and on. Almost every day we were missing some players. Can't get rides, can't get to practice, whatever. I was real concerned, as I told you the week before the North Central game, how I was concerned about Cole McGuire, their quarterback, and their ability to run the option. And my concern, I thought we did a real good job. I thought we took them out of the game quick, got up 28-0 really fast, and then took care of business from there. I thought we played a really solid game. I thought we lost our focus a little bit in the second quarter, kind of let some things loose. Defensively, we did a nice job, held them to a couple hundred yards. Offensively, we had about 490 yards, seven, eight touchdowns, I forget now. And we came away healthy, with the exception of a couple kids that we're still trying to get back onto the right track here. So, overall, good win, good momentum builder going into the tournament here. But by no means anything that we're going to see this week.
You've come out of the regular season at 6-3 on the year. Compare where that was at the beginning of the year with your expectations.
That's a good question. I don't really usually mince words. Disappointed, to be honest with you. I really thought going into it, with our conference being the way it is and as tough as it is, it's hard to run the table. Center Grove did it last year and went 9-0 regular season, which is just this day and age. You go back and you start looking. We were co-conference champs in 2012 at 6-1. We did it again in 2013 at 6-1. 2014, we were third. I don't know, did Carmel, I think they were co-champs that year. I think it was Carmel and Warren again, or might have been Center Grove and Warren, I don't remember. 2015, Center Grove went undefeated. This year, Carmel or Warren went undefeated. It's tough, but I really felt like 8-1 was a reasonable expectation, 7-2 at the worst. Disappointed with the one-point loss at Warren because I thought we did some good things that had put us in position to make some plays and have a chance. Disappointed with how we finished the Carmel game, had built a big lead, going into the fourth quarter and just kind of gave up. Gave up's not the way really to put it. Just quit playing ball. We just quit playing mentally and physically, quit playing football that night. And so I really felt like we let a couple of them get away that maybe I'd like to have a chance to do over again if fortunate enough. 6-3 is good. There's a whole lot of schools in Indiana. I could probably rattle off hundreds of them that would love to be 6-3 at every level, whether it be 1A or 6A. They'd love to be 6-3. And 6-3 in our conference, even with our non-conference schedule with a team like Avon, on our non-conference, it's tough to do. And so I'm proud of what our kids were able to accomplish, but that didn't quite live up to what I thought we might be able to pull off.
When you look at that 6-3 record, you mentioned the losses in there to Carmel, to Warren Central, and to Center Grove, and all of those were games that
were you it. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly, one, you know, I think you've said before on this show, change three plays, and any one of those games might have been different.
Right.
So, obviously, you don't want to cry over 6-3, but how frustrating is it to know that fact that you change any of those three? And
yeah, well, it's very frustrating from a coaching standpoint. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, 6-3, woe is me. 6-3 is an accomplishment. You know, it's a winning record. And John, you're going to have to tell me, I don't know how many seasons in a row that is where we've had a non-losing season. 32 or 33,
like, yeah,
something like
that.
It's
been every year since 1986.
Yeah, so it's a long time running now. And so in that accomplishment alone is pretty amazing when you think about teams like Warren and Carmel can't even say that. In fact, the only team that can say it in the whole state, I believe, is Penn,
yeah.
Which is 40-something, you know, and we're 30-something. So it's really pretty amazing. So in that respect, I'm very proud of what we've accomplished to this point. But felt like we left some things on the, you know, Bobby Bowden's the one that said it in the book I read many, many years ago that said, you take any game and you flip three or four plays and the game goes the other direction, assuming two teams are equal. I can rattle off three plays in the Warren game that if we flip them, we win 35-34 instead of them winning, you know. But Warren made plays, we didn't make plays. And so that's on us. That's not Warren's fault. It's not Center Grove's fault. That's Ben Davis's fault. And as a coach, that's why we practice every day and try to get our kids to understand the mental and the physical. As Coach Delahan would say, mental is to physical as three is to one. And sometimes our problem has been mental, not a physical thing.
Well, Coach, coming out of last regular season, you were 5-4. Now coming out of this regular season, you're 6-3. Can you compare the two teams that heading into sectional? Like, how was your team last year heading into sectional compared to this team heading into sectionals?
This team's ahead, you know, and the kids that played last year are probably going to call me tonight and say, that ain't true, you know, but we're averaging more points per game. I think last year at this point we were about 35 a game. Last year we were giving up about 23 or 24 a game at this point. Right now we're giving up 18 against the same schedule. So we're giving up fewer points. We're scoring more points. Our offense is definitely operating at a higher level. We had games last year where we just struggled. We didn't throw the ball especially well early. We struggled to score points. I think we scored 19 at Center Grove. We scored 20-something at Lawrence Central. I think that game was 20-something. Yeah, 28.
22.
Avon, we scored a bunch, but it was on big plays. I mean, we had some good games. We weren't as efficient. I think we're more efficient with the ball this year. We definitely operate at a very high level offensively. When you think about a team's averaging almost 41 a game, 40.83, I think is what it is. You're talking six touchdowns a game. And in our conference, when you're, according to the SAGR, and you're playing, what, the third or fourth toughest schedule in the state, and you're averaging six touchdowns a game, it's really pretty amazing at this day and age. And you're only giving up 18, a little less than three. Somebody said, well, I remember the days when Tom Allen and somebody brought up, he goes, I remember your first year as a defensive coordinator. You got in the sectionals and you pitched three straight shutouts. I think we shut out Southport, Perry Meridian, and somebody else, Tech, I think is what it was.
Manual. Wasn't it Manual?
Yeah, it might have been. But that was 2004. We pitched three straight shutouts. We didn't give up a point in sectional play.
That was Tech. You're right.
But you know what? That don't happen anymore. It's hard to shut people out. You know, it's just because of the way everybody spreads you out, gets people in space, they get a mismatch. Next thing you know, somebody's behind you, and they're running to the end zone. So the idea that you shut people out is not something that happens very often, and they hardly ever shut our offense out, and we don't hardly ever shut anybody out. I think we had one this year, you know, and last time we were shut out, I believe, was 2007. I think Center Grove shut us out.
Warren shut you out over there.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, but you guys were
36-0. That was 2010.
You had a bunch of injuries going into that game, if I remember.
Yeah, quarterback was out, running back was out, so.
Give me the moment in this season that maybe best identifies or represents the 2016 Giants as far as what kind of football team that they are.
I'm going to say the Carmel game. I know this is going to be kind of odd if my players are listening. The fourth quarter of the Carmel game, I believe at this point, was a wake-up call for us. Up till that point, you know, We lost a tough one to Center Grove and a tough one to Warren, and you're talking the number one, number two ranked team in the state, and you're kind of like, okay, we're in position to win those. We're doing okay. We really went into the Carmel game thinking, I could just, our coaches, kids, we were going to take care of business. Carmel had struggled a little bit to score points and had lost a game to LN that was kind of a surprise to a lot of people. And then we built that big lead, 30-14 in the fourth, and you're kind of thinking, and all of a sudden it didn't work. You know, we offensively, all of a sudden, we couldn't get first downs. Defensively, we were blowing coverages. We weren't tackling. We weren't being physical. Things were said after the game by me, by the players, right, wrong, or indifferent, good, bad, all of it. And I think it was been a wake-up call. I thought we came back, bounced back pretty good against an LC team that had been playing competitive. I mean, they were 21-7 at half. They were up 21-7 at half on Center Grove. I mean, they tells you they were in position to be in a position to win that game. And the final was 35-21, but LC had thrown a pick six in there too. So it's really offensively, it was 28-21. So I felt like we bounced back pretty good from that, you know. And LC's got a great defense, the McGrone kid, and that was one of the better defenses we'd faced athletically. You know, and we had 450 yards, 5 touchdowns, and we felt pretty good. You know, and then we finished that, and I think we've had a decent couple weeks here practicing, getting ready for the next game. But I think that was a defining moment. And I've been in those situations before where there's that game that you lose, that you either pick yourself up and you become the team you're supposed to be, or you never recover. And I don't know if we've recovered. I don't know. We're playing a great team this week, absolutely great team. So it'll be interesting to see if we have.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Inside Bendaeus Football, but when we come back, we'll preview the first round sectional matchup against the 8-1 Brownsburg Bulldogs. So a quick break here on Inside Bendaeus Football.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Ladies and gentlemen, Inside Bendaeus Football. This Friday, the Giants take on a top-5 ranked 8-1 Brownsburg Bulldogs. Coach, you traveled to Brownsburg. Tell us about Brownsburg.
They are as advertised. Obviously, you got a quarterback who's going to Clemson. Hunter Johnson, 6'3", 200 pounds, can throw, make any throw. He can make any throw. He's an elite quarterback. He's going to play in the Army All-American game. He's one of the 3 quarterbacks on the E squad. They got a big tough running back in Gill that I know he's been out for a few weeks, but is back. Love their O-line, big, athletic, love 64. I think he's fantastic. They got a sophomore wide receiver in Kurtz who's just, he's a Division I kid. His brother's already at Ball State playing. He'll follow, whether he follows him there or someplace else remains to be seen, but he's a big-time receiving threat. They've also been running this freshman running back, number 83. Marcus?
Donnie Marcus.
Yeah, really good. Quick. A lot different than Gill. Gill's more of a power runner. And then you flip over to the defensive side. They got a big DN, number 95, junior. Who's
Andres Baker.
Yeah, he's probably a D1 kid. I really love 49, the other DN. Big, strong, white kid. Two tough corners, number 3 and number 6. They put you in conflict. They're well coached. I've known John a long time. Met John, true story, met John 16, 17 years ago when we both interviewed for the Warren Central job in 2000. We actually sat there on the same night and introduced ourselves because we were getting interviewed at the same time. It was one of those group interview deals. Neither one of us got the job. John ended up getting it several years later, 2008. I think he actually ended up getting the job the second time around. Did a great job there, won a state title at Evansville Wrights, won a state title at Warren. Goes up to Chicago, leaves Warren, goes up to Chicago for the last few years, and takes over a program that can't win, and immediately, second year, I think he goes 8-9-1. You know, he's one of those guys that knows how to win. He's really good at what he does. He's breathed a sense of confidence in them. They've been able to win close games, which maybe in the past they haven't, and now they are, which makes it tough to beat because they believe they're supposed to win. So we've got our hands full. We've been working like dogs as coaches and players, just trying to get ready for this game.
When you look at Brownsburg, they had just the one loss that they really blew a lead against Noblesville. I'm sure you've probably talked to Coach Jason Simmons about that game. What kind of feedback did Jason give you in terms of maybe a key to being successful against Brownsburg?
Basically, Coach Simmons told us to, you know, do what we do. You know, he knows how we operate. He's seen us on film. You know, that game was Brownsburg got up 14-0, then blocked a punt and went up 21-0. I think they kind of got a little complacent, kind of like we did with Carmel. And all of a sudden, Noblesville scores, gets the ball back, scores. It's 21-14. Now you're kind of on your it's an offense, and I've been there because we did. You're kind of on your heels. You know you need to score. All of a sudden, your defense is getting backed up, and they don't. And next thing you know, Jason gets the ball back, goes down, scores, goes for two, and gets it and wins. You know, so he's down 21-0 in the fourth and wins 22-21. And, you know, Jason just basically said, do what we do. You know, we've got the Noblesville film. We traded the last two games with Brownsburg, so we have their Hamilton Southeastern and Noblesville film. And we're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to be able to throw the ball. We're going to have to be able to run the ball. You know, we can't turn it over. We can't get them emotionally involved in the game. We've got to take the emotion out of it. They're at home. Their crowd's going to be huge. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a tough environment for us to go play in.
Yeah, and it's a different stadium than it was the last time the Giants went out there, which, man, it was a Halloween game.
2008.
Yeah, a few years back.
2008.
The play I remember is Jordan Steph catching a big pass and rumbling down, showing off his speed and things, but Giants won that game. In fact, the Giants undefeated against Brownsburg, according to our friend Jim Pick, who I don't know how he does it. But, you know, as you come into this game, you've had now the 2 weeks off since you played a game. Obviously, it'll be 2 weeks once the ball is kicked since you played a game exactly. Warren Central went down to Cincinnati, played St. X, won in an emotional last-second untimed down Hail Mary. Center Grove went in overtime against Cathedral and got a big victory against them for the Mick. So the Mick kind of flexes its muscles a little bit. You look at those two, they had a real tough game coming in. Obviously, you guys did not struggle with North Central, did not really struggle. I mean, I know you were talking about Lawrence Central. It's a tight game. Second half, the Giants kind of took over against Lawrence Central. So you kind of come in now where you haven't really, I mean, it's been 3 weeks since you had a real tight, close battle. How does that help you or hurt you going into this game against Brownsburg?
Well, I don't know that it helps us or hurts us. We've been in tight games, obviously, Warren, Center Grove. We've been in tight ones the way it is. So we're kind of, you're kind of, at this point, you should be ready for that. That shouldn't be a surprise. The help part, and it's the same for Brownsburg, although we had a little better game the last game. You know, we got to rest kids in the second half. And they had to play their kids till the very end. We were able to rest some kids. You know, the week off allowed us some kids to come back that we hadn't been playing very much or not at all. Unfortunately, we did get a couple kids dinged, and it looks like we got at least one, maybe two out, one for sure, maybe two out for this week that they'll get back if we are fortunate enough to win and move on. But probably aren't. I know one's not making it back this week. So without mentioning names, we're going to lose one. I don't know, but I'm assuming they're healthy now. I'm assuming their kids have all come back. They were down a couple linemen at one point, and the Gill kid's been sitting out for a while.
Both Gill and Baker missed a game along the way.
Yeah. And we're just used to that. I mean, we've been missing one or two kids all season. You know, we had Pompey for one quarter. You know, and unfortunately, his rehab's going really well. He's making a lot of progress. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. You know, I think our kids are, because you have a 2 week break, they're kind of chomping at the bit to see what we can do.
I guess my question, in a long roundabout way, is it's hard to put it back into gear.
No, this tournament. You know, if we were. and I don't know how the colleges do it. Syracuse was at practice tonight because they have a bye week, and you know, but for us, this is the tournament. And if our kids don't realize that it's a one and done, then I haven't done a good job explaining it to them, because there should be a sense of urgency in your practice, your play, your mental focus, everything.
Now, Coach, you talk about how elite Hunter Johnson is, but Reese Taylor has one of the top QBRs in the state with a 92.5, and he's only 150 yards behind Johnson on the season, passing for over 1,600. How do you think Reese stacks up against Hunter Johnson?
Well, they're a little different. Reese actually is over 1,800 now with the last game figured in. Reese completes 65% of his passes. He's very accurate. Hunter Johnson completes tons of passes. He's very accurate.
51%.
He's thrown about 50 passes more than Reese has, which is he's only thrown for a couple hundred yards more, but he's thrown about 50 more. So Reese a little more efficient, but our scheme is designed a little different than their scheme, which adds to that. And you also got to factor into it. Everybody looks at percentages and how many are dropped. You know, how many Hunter Johnson passes are dropped? How many Reese's passes are dropped? You know, that would have been big plays. I think Hunter's a great runner. He runs the ball really well. He's got about 400 and some yards. I think our X factor for them is Reese is not just a good runner. He's a great runner. You know, he's got 800 plus yards rushing and 18 rushing touchdowns. And I he's thrown for 13 touchdowns. He's rushed for 18 touchdowns. As a coach that tries to defend him in practice, he's tough to defend, because every time you send that rush and you blitz and you send people, he just sidesteps somebody and he's out the gate. That's our fear with Hunter Johnson. I watched him do it last week against Hamilton Southeastern. I watched him do it against Noblesville. And it's a concern that if our pass rush doesn't keep him inside and he gets in space, he is a good enough athlete. Shoot, he was on their 4x4 team that went to state track. I mean, that's how fast he is. So he's a real player.
Just to follow up on Corey's question, compare game planning for Hunter Johnson this year to game planning last year against Brandon Peters for Avon.
Wow, pretty similar.
That's a good question.
Really, it's pretty similar. I mean, you're talking a Michigan recruit and a Clemson recruit, and there's no difference to me. ACC, Big Ten, both had strong arms, can make all the throws, and Brandon Peters was deceivingly faster than people gave him credit for. He just wasn't one that wanted to pull it down and run. Hunter Johnson wants to run. I mean, they got specific plays designed for him to run. Quarterback read options, quarterback draws, quarterback counters. They're doing things so he does run the ball. Where Avon didn't do that quite as much, but they make all the throws. So our secondary is going to be unbelievably tested Friday night.
And these are all related to one of our Ask Kirshner questions that we actually got online.
Right.
So, Corey Clark, thank you for your question. So I think we've done a good job answering what you wanted to hear. You talk about John Hart coming in and kind of changing the program a little bit, not to say anything bad about anybody that's been there before. But one thing John Hart's known for, and his son, I think, would attest to this, is he can coach some quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a change in the way Hunter has gone about? Have you seen any changes in the film from
what
you saw before?
Yeah, and again, we didn't play him the last 3 years, 4 years, whatever. So Hunter's been a starter since he's a freshman. So we saw very little of him during the regular season. And because we never drew him, we never really focused that. What I have noticed is he's making the reads. Whereas before I felt like he was throwing to a person, right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm throwing to him. Now he's, all right, they're doing this, so he's not, I'm going here, which really puts us in a bind, because now your kid's got to be, you can't guess. You got to know what you're doing. And I think he's making all the right reads. I think he's very comfortable in the pocket and sitting there and making the throws. And maybe the O-line's doing a better job protecting him, I don't know. But he just seems like he's playing with a lot of confidence, and winning does that for you. You win, you get confidence. It's that way for everybody at every level. The more you win, the better you feel, the better you think you can play.
I have to agree with that assessment. I've been lucky enough to see Hunter over all 4 years of high school at some point, and I've seen him three times this season. He definitely has taken a big step in terms of the way he reads the field.
There's no question. And that's a tribute to John. John, you know, I don't know, he's been a head coach 32 years, I think, is what he told me. or this is his 32nd year. I'm not positive. He's younger than me, you know, but he's just everywhere he's been. When he was at Mount Carmel in Illinois, he won. When he was at Evansville Wrights, I remember him coming up here for semi-state his first or second year at Wrights in 2001 and just getting pummeled. And two or three years later, he's winning state in 4A, and you know, and then and had a quarterback, I think, went to Army that was phenomenal.
Paul McIntosh.
McIntosh, that's exactly right. Good job. And he wins state. He goes to Warren. You know, 2008, he loses to us in the regional. 2009, he wins state championship. You know, so he's a winner. You know, he's a Hall of Famer probably in two states. He's probably going to make the Hall of Fame in Illinois and Indiana.
Well,
that's pretty amazing.
Well, Coach, last year against Avon in the sectionals, you're able to put a good shutdown on Brandon Peters. If you guys are able to do that this week against Hunter Johnson, what will Brownsburg do offensively to kind of counterattack that?
Well, last year, if you remember the game, we did a pretty good job against Brandon Peters. He was 12 of 36 for 100 yards and a pick, and we really took away the passing game. But in order to do that, we gave up the running game. And Fitzgerald, if you remember correctly, had a 180-yard night and multiple touchdowns. And because we're trying to take away Hunter Johnson throwing. There's no question. But they have the ability, just like Avon, to run the football and run it well. And they're patient enough. They're willing to go 5 yards. And the Gill kid will get you five. He's a tough nut. So we can't just sell out for one. We kind of did that last year against Avon, and it almost worked. To be honest with you, it almost worked. We almost pulled off a pretty good upset from a pretty good team. A really good Avon team, and but we if we take a passing game and don't give up big runs, I'll be excited.
Last year, probably the one thing that people were not afraid of against Brownsburg was their defense. How much has that defense improved in your eyes?
I don't know who their coordinator is. He's doing a great job. Here's the best thing: they tackle. Whereas the little bit of film we'd seen in the past, it was like they. Because I think last year. Again, I know most of the stats, I study them so hard, but I think they're averaging 28 points a game, 27 points something, and they're giving up 21 points something. This year, last year, they were scoring almost 40 a game, all right? So offensively, they had a couple 60-point games on offense, but they were giving up 50 a game, you know, so it wasn't doing them any good because you're still losing, all right? This year, they've toned down their offense, and that's partly, I think, by design. We're going to control the line of scrimmage. We're going to move the chains. We're going to keep our defense off field. But their defensive coordinator's done a nice job with the scheme, getting the kids in the right place, getting them to line up. And that's part of the problem with defense is sometimes the kids just get out of alignment, and you expose yourself. And then they tackle extremely well, which is a credit to their coaching staff and what they're able to get done.
Well, Coach, this Friday, the Giants travel to take on the top five ranked Brownsburg Bulldogs in the first round of sectionals. What are your final thoughts?
We need Purple Rain to show up. Place is going to be packed. I know it is. I know it's going to be an emotional night. They had a young man that was in a tragic accident that's fighting. And I hope Matt Turk, number 8, you know, hope the good Lord shines on him and helps him out a little bit here. So it's an emotional night for them, but it's an emotional night for everybody. It's a tournament. You're in a one and done. You're in the second round, technically, the way it works. You know, there's 100 and some schools not playing anymore. After this weekend, you're in the final 16. There'll only be, in six classes, 90-some schools playing, and you're done. And so for our seniors and for our kids, I hope it goes well. But if it doesn't, you know, we'll bounce back on Monday, I guess, and start over. But need Purple Rain to show up and match the intensity of the crowd.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis Football. Tune in this Friday to the Ben Davis versus Brownsburg game. Pregame starting at 6 o'clock, kickoff at 7. Tune in next week to Inside Ben Davis Football, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll have to
figure out the schedule.
Watch our Twitter because we have a girls basketball game
on Tuesday.
Tuesday night next week as the Lady Giants tip off against Cathedral on the 1st, so
we're working on the schedule.
We're still talking. We might be able to pull this off on Tuesday to keep it that way. So
we'll tune in either Tuesday or Wednesday. Keep tabs on the WBDG Twitter, and we'll let you know. Thanks for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis Football, and we'll see you guys next week. And go Cubbies!
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.